This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. Former President Trump rallied in Atlanta after Georgia saw a record-breaking first day of early voting. Fox's Rich Edson has more.
Georgia has more than doubled its first-day early voting record. The Secretary of State's office says it has accepted more than 305,000 ballots. The previous record, set 4 years ago, was 136,000. Former President Trump held a rally in Atlanta. His campaign has been trying to convince skeptical supporters to cast those early ballots. Trump is also selling voters there on his economic record. Governor Brian Kemp's Get Out the Vote operation is helping the Trump campaign. Trump and Kemp had argued publicly over Trump's narrow loss in Georgia in 2020. That somewhat appears to be repaired. And the latest polling in Georgia shows Vice President Harris with a 2 percentage point lead, well within the margin of error.
And President Biden campaigned for Vice President Harris in Philadelphia yesterday, calling former President Trump, quote, unhinged after losing in 2020, and criticizing Trump's town hall Monday, where two people passed out early on in the event.
His rally stopped taking questions because someone got hurt. And guess what? He stood on the stage for 30 minutes and danced. I'm serious. What's wrong with this guy?
The swing state of Pennsylvania is a toss-up for the vice president and former President Trump.
A man is being treated following a police standoff in East Wichita Tuesday afternoon in the 3800 block of East Edgemont. That's near Central and Hillside. A 22-year-old man had poured gasoline on his home and on himself. Public Information Officer Chris Gapulin says SWAT negotiators were eventually able to make contact.
They were able to reestablish communication with the subject inside, and at that point they were able to get him to peacefully surrender and come outside.
The man underwent decontamination procedures before being taken to a treatment facility.
The Wichita City Council approving funding to expand the city's crime-fighting efforts.
The city of Wichita will purchase 31 Flock license plate readers to add to its network of 160. The city will also purchase more gunshot detection devices to double the coverage from 2 square miles to 4. Police Captain Aaron Moses says the equipment has resulted in recovered stolen property and a drop in violent crime.
A decrease in drive-by shootings over the five-year average of 12%. A decrease in aggravated assault and aggravated battery with firearms where they are discharged of 5% over the five-year average.
While some have privacy concerns with the technology, Moses explained the pictures taken by the system are purged after 30 days unless needed in a trial. 10 of the readers will cost roughly $151,000 over 5 years. An additional 21 readers and the gunshot detection expansion will cost around $186,000 in the first year and $183,000 in year two. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
And the equipment will be placed in crime hotspots around the city.
Military aid to Israel could be at risk if the country doesn't allow more humanitarian aid to reach Gaza.
The amount of food, water, medicine, and other critical aid reaching Gaza has fallen sharply.
In fact, it has fallen by over 50% from where it was at its peak.
State Department spokesman Matt Miller describing why Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin wrote a letter to Israeli counterparts setting a 30-day deadline to increase the flow of assistance.
But our hope is that Israel will make the changes that we have outlined and that we have recommended, and that the result of those changes will be a dramatic increase in humanitarian assistance.
A similar letter was sent to Israeli officials in April that led to more aid getting to Gaza. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Wichita's number one talk.
KNSS News Time now, 6:07, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. May South Middle School was evacuated for a short time Tuesday morning following a threatening voicemail message left there. The district said the school was searched and nothing was found to substantiate the threat. Officials say law enforcement will continue to investigate.
At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission will acknowledge a community effort to assist families. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News.
A proclamation where we're declaring Family Promise Week. Family Promise is an organization that deals with those homeless individuals that are mostly women and children that are experiencing homelessness. So they help with food, they help with temporary shelter, other wraparound services.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
Casual gaming for less than 7 hours may help to improve your sleep, despite the prevailing thoughts.
If you're having a hard time sleeping, change your video game. That's what a study published in Science Direct is saying. It counters the blanket statement that excessive gaming leads to poor sleep, and instead says that certain types of games have no effect and may even improve sleep quality. Puzzle games and word games being listed as the most beneficial. The worst for your sleep? Games like Call of Duty, which require heightened reflexes, or World of Warcraft, that require lots of time and planning. The study looked at 26 different studies to come to its conclusions. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
JCPenney is hosting a 3-day national hiring event ahead of a busy holiday shopping season.
The chain looking to hire at least 10,000 seasonal workers all across the nation, noting roles include assisting customers in store, fulfilling orders, and keeping shelves stocked. Through Friday, those interested can apply at their local JCPenney store or by visiting jobs.jcp.com. An executive says they're looking for folks who embody JCPenney's golden rule to treat others as we want to be treated, noting benefits for seasonal workers include an employee discount of up to 25% off any purchase, flexible schedules, noting stores are closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, and career advancement opportunities. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
And our first look at our Wednesday morning traffic commute, and we'll check the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam. I'm looking at the one at I-235 and West Street. And just to the north of that location, we have some very slow-moving traffic along the West Street corridor, especially just to the north of 31st Street South there. Some slowdowns on West Street at this hour this morning. Traffic update, Steve and Ted, KNSS.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
After a freezing start this morning, another cooler than average afternoon under mostly sunny skies. High of only 62 degrees, a northeast breeze switching back out of the south at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And currently a few clouds, 36 degrees, a northeast wind at 5 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 36 degrees last hour's temperature was 35, so I'm not sure if we've hit bottom overnight or not, but 36 is, it's plenty cool out there this morning, especially compared to what we've been having. A sunny, breezy day across south central Kansas. Tuesday, Wichita's high temperature yesterday, only 64 degrees. Normal high for the date, 71. And we, of course, have been under a freeze warning through the night here in south central Kansas. And Ted, I was just sitting at home there at about 7 o'clock last night, and my granddaughter came over, and Shelly started talking about sprinkler systems and so forth and the freezing. And it reminded me that I had to get outside, you know, out there and, you know, unfasten the two garden hoses so they wouldn't possibly freeze up overnight.
Oh, it's not going to freeze enough to do that.
I don't care. I'm still going to do it because I got hit one time for that several years ago. Pipes froze up, and I had a pretty good plumber's bill to get that fixed up. So, yeah, I'm pretty careful about that one. October 16th, on this date in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis began as President John F. Kennedy was informed that reconnaissance photographs had revealed the presence of nuclear missile bases in Cuba. I don't remember maybe not that day, but the next day going to school, riding the bus over to Hadley Junior High School from our home, and boy, the kids were a buzz. They were all talking about it because their parents had been talking about it. And we were pretty much convinced, us junior high school kids, that we might not get home from school that day. I mean, it was that scary. It was, truthfully, we thought we were going to have nuclear bombs coming in on McConnell Air Force Base. That was, again, of course, they resolved it about 12, 13 days later, without a nuclear exchange. Thank you. Space weather experts say expect to see more northern lights in unusual places as the sun continues to sizzle Experts say the sun is currently at the maximum phase of its 11-year cycle, making solar surges and northern lights more frequent. They expect this high solar activity to last at least another year, though they don't know exactly when solar activity will peak. Strong solar storms this year have triggered shimmering auroras much farther south than usual. More opportunities to glimpse light shows farther south are there likely to be coming in the months ahead. But they have a good chance to see the northern lights. Have you ever seen them, Ted? The northern lights?
No, I have not.
I have. It was a long time ago. I think it was about 5 or 6 years old. We were heading west out of, got an early start to go to California. We'd spent the night at Grandma's house there in Roselle, which is west of Larned, about 18 miles. So we get up real early in the morning, and the six of us in our family car take off and head west. And Mom says, look up to the north, boys. And there they were. And I'll tell you what, it was interesting. It's like these fluttering lights there on the horizon. Very, very interesting, kind of eerie. And I don't know, I went out briefly in the yard last night, tried to look to the west. I got a big tree out there. Is that where I look for the comet? Because I did not see it last night. Have you seen the comet?
Only on people's pictures.
Yeah, me too.
You can't see it from the city.
You can't at all.
You have to get out from the urban lights.
Well, you know, my daughter Stacy, she's pretty well out there, 135th West. She may have a clear enough vision to see it, but I don't know. Yeah, too many city lights makes it tough to see those things. Had a problem in Michigan where dozens of people have rallied outside the Michigan headquarters of W.K. Kellogg to demand that the company remove artificial dyes from their cereals in the U.S. The maker of Fruit Loops and Apple Jacks announced nearly a decade ago that it would remove artificial colors and ingredients from its products by 2018. But in the U.S., Kellogg cereals still contain artificial colors and BHT. That's a chemical preservative. Activists said they were delivering petitions with more than 400,000 signatures asking the company to make the change. W.K. Kellogg said in a statement that its products are safe and comply with federal regulations. Fruit Loops. How about it, Ted? You a big fan of the Fruit Loops?
Ever since I was a kid.
You like the Fruit Loops?
Oh, of course. I'm a child of the 70s. I love all those unbelievably sugary cereals.
What about Frankenberries? Are they good?
I was more of a Count Chocula person myself, more than the Frankenberry and the Boo-Berry.
Well, they got creative with their branding, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
They really did, 'cause I grew up with Wheeze and Cheerios, and hey, take it or leave it. We like those little Nabisco things that look like, I don't know, they were shredded wheat. And they came in these little cubes, and you've got them, soaked them in milk, and they started, you could cut them apart with your spoon. But they were like little biscuits. Shredded wheat? You ever
know? Yeah. Although I only eat the frosted shredded wheat.
Wheaties?
Boring.
They are really boring. And Shelly and I like Raisin Bran. So that's a good one. What was that one?
I didn't mind Raisin Bran.
What is that one that would just take the fillings right out of your teeth? Or like it was like sand.
Take your pick.
I mean, it was like sand. It's really gritty. I can't remember the name of it now. It was good. Tasted good. But crunchy. I'll think of it in a few
minutes. When I was a kid, King Vitamin. I loved King Vitamin.
King Vitamin. Whoa. All right.
And as a fan of Captain Crunch as well.
Captain Crunch.
Another one that'll take your fillings out pretty much.
All right. It's 6:17 now. Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And time for leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward.
All right. We'll talk college football tonight. It's the weekly edition of the Chris Klieman Show with the head coach of Kansas State football team. That'll be at 7 o'clock tonight. Coach Klieman on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, 17th-ranked Kansas State. We'll be on the road Saturday night at West Virginia. Both teams are 2-1 in the conference. Wildcats are favored by a field goal. Talk about it tonight on the Chris Klieman Show over on KFH at 7 o'clock. National Hockey League action last night in Edmonton. The Oilers beat the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3 in overtime. First win of the season for Edmonton after an 0-3 start. The winning goalie for the Oilers, former Wichita Thunder goalie Stuart Skinner, with 27 saves in that win for Edmonton. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, coming off that bye week, getting ready for a road game at the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. And head coach of the Chiefs, Andy Reid, was asked what the Chiefs plan and scheme and do on their bye week.
Offensively, to keep our drives going, things that can help us sustain, and things that might have hurt those drives, and then the obvious red zone questions. We're trying to work through that and make sure we're a little bit more sound there. And then defensively, we're doing a pretty good job in most of the situational things. We had had that first drive thing going that we did a little better on, and but we're doing a pretty good job there. And there's some things that Spags has got that he's going to work on with the guys.
There you go. Once again, the Chiefs are at San Francisco on Sunday here on KNSS. We'll talk more about that. We got the Minute with Mitch tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour, and then Live with Mitch Holtis, play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, on Friday morning here on KNSS. Well, the goal is to get to the Super Bowl, and you have to know where the Super Bowl is if you want to get there, especially years from now.
The Super Bowl is heading back to Atlanta. The NFL announced Tuesday that Super Bowl 62 will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the second time. The last time the game was played in Atlanta, the Patriots defeated the Rams in 2019. It's the fourth time the city of Atlanta has hosted the Super Bowl, with the first two being played at the Georgia Dome. This season's championship game will take place in New Orleans before the next two Super Bowls are played in California, first at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara in 2026, then in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium in 2027. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
And we got a big birthday today. I want to talk about Bud Moore. You know who Bud Moore is? Former KU football head coach in the mid to late 1970s. Okay. Bud Moore is 85 years old today. And KU thought they had the guy.
Yeah.
I thought this was the guy. His first year as coach of the Jayhawks, he was the Big 8 Conference Coach of the Year, runner-up Coach of the Year in the nation, only behind Woody Hayes of Ohio State.
Man.
Yeah, for the National Coach of the Year. Why? Well, because KU beat the eventual national champion, second-ranked Oklahoma, 23-3 in Norman that year.
Wow.
Snapping OU's 37-game unbeaten streak. First loss ever as a head coach for Barry Switzer. He was undefeated his first year at Oklahoma, undefeated his second year, and then he was 6-0 his third year until the Jayhawks got him. Yeah. He was 29-0-1 before the Jayhawks beat him there. All right. So Bud Moore, the guy that played football at Alabama under Bear Bryant, he came to KU. He was probably the hottest assistant coach in the nation. He'd coached assistant at Texas A&M and at Alabama under Coach Bryant.
Yeah.
And he installed the wishbone at KU with quarterback Nolan Cromwell.
Ooh.
And Oklahoma goes down big time. So that first year, won 7 games. They went to a bowl game, Sun Bowl. And then the second year, they start out 4-0. And they're like, hey, Bud Moore is he's the Bill Snyder of KU. I mean, he's the guy. He's the guy that's going to take him to glory for decades. And then Nolan Cromwell got a knee injury.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
That's all it took.
So the second year kind of fizzled. The third year was worse. Bud Moore's fourth year as head coach, they were 1-10.
Wow.
And it was over.
Mm.
He's in the KU Athletics Hall of Fame, despite the fact that he only got 18 wins in 4 years. But that one year,
that was a biggie.
He was the conference coach of the year and the runner-up for the national coach of the year. His birthday today. The interesting story of former KU football coach Bud Moore. He is 85 years old today. That's sports with Stephen Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe, healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center, they improve the lives they touch.
We're just talking about breakfast cereals. How did we get on that a few minutes ago? We started breakfast.
Well, you were talking about Fruit Loops for some reason.
Kellogg's having a demonstration up there about the stuff they have in their cereals.
Okay.
To die. All right. Well, I did some research. I found some good cereals from back in the 50s and 60s. I'm going to share those.
You'll probably enlighten me.
I'm going to share those coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Very good.
Next break after the news. So keep it here. Coming up, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, something to watch with your teen. That's on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on a Wednesday morning, 36 degrees. The man who was fatally shot when he charged law enforcement officers early Saturday in Northwest Wichita was not armed. Police say 27-year-old Jonathan Macias was shot when he charged at the officers while reaching behind his back. Police Chief Joseph Sullivan says it was first believed that Macias was wearing a ballistic armor.
He was wearing a vest carrier. That's what the officers could see. But when we were able to examine, it turned out that it was a carrier with no ballistic panels inside.
Wichita police are still investigating.
The city of Wichita will hire a company to temporarily run the new Northwest Water Treatment Plant.
There are 20 new positions at the new water facility, with 5 to 6 more operators left to hire. Public Works will need more operators while the city runs the two facilities concurrently for a short time. The new plant is scheduled to come online in April 2025, while the old treatment plant is shut down around the end of that same year. Recruitment and retention of water operators is an issue at the local and national level. The contract with operational technical support is worth just over $1.285 million for 1 year, which will be partially offset by roughly $491,000 in salary savings from vacant positions. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
At today's meeting, the Sedgwick County Commission will consider applications for federal grant money. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News he has mixed feelings about the grant process.
We have grants that come through the system, and in my mind, I see these grants, and I begin to think, my goodness, you know, we have to go and apply for all these things, and the federal government takes taxes, and the state government even takes these taxes, and then you have to go apply for grants to send them back, and in one hand, I it's a little frustrating. It's like, I wish we could just have a tax rate where we can just keep most of our own money here locally, and we can administer these services locally.
Beatty commented during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Lawmakers and national security officials demand answers after it was revealed that a series of drones entered restricted airspace late last year. Fox's Jennifer Griffin has the story.
Last December, U.S. Air Force commanders at Langley Air Force Base in Southern Virginia, home to the F-22 Raptors, noticed over a period of 17 days, dozens of unidentified drones would begin flying over the base shortly after dusk each night. The White House called for national security meetings to discuss the drones, which had been seen over 3 sensitive U.S. installations, and whether they were sent by a foreign adversary. There were concerns about the military using electronic warfare or jamming systems to stop the drones, fearing it would interfere with commercial air travel over the holidays.
The drones over Virginia came 2 months after another fleet of drones breached restricted airspace over a government nuclear weapons test site in Nevada. It's unclear if these two incidents were related.
A woman in Kentucky who's accused of killing her mother and cooking her severed head reportedly had an alias as an aspiring actress.
32-year-old Toralina Fields was arrested last week after an 11-hour standoff with police. She's charged with the murder of her mother, Trudy Fields. Investigators reportedly found a charred and severed head, hands, feet, and forearm in a pot that was still warm in the oven. Fields' family members telling Fox 56 she recently moved back into her mother's house after pursuing a career as an actress, model, and singer in California under a different name. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
After a freezing start this morning, another cooler than average afternoon under mostly sunny skies. High of only 62 degrees, a northeast breeze switching back out of the south at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
And we have a few clouds now, 36 degrees, northeast wind at 5 miles per hour. Steve and Ted of the Morning, 6:35 on this Wednesday, the October the 16th. On this date in 1859, radical abolitionist John Brown led a raid on the U.S. arsenal at Harper's Ferry in Virginia, what was then part of Western Virginia. 10 of Brown's men were killed. 5 escaped. Brown and 6 followers were captured. All were executed. And, of course, that was a precursor to the start of the Civil War. The idea was this guy from Kansas with the beard, a crazy-looking man from Kansas, and his people, his kids and whatnot, they would go and they would seize that armory in Harper's Ferry. And then they would that would incite an uprising by the slaves. The slaves would find out about it, and they would all gather together, and I don't know what they would do. I guess slaughter their masters or something, and the war would start. It didn't work out that way, and the officer that the army sent to put that down was a fellow by the name of Robert E. Lee. He was there at Harper's Ferry. Interesting time. Interesting time. Let's see. What else we got going on today? Well, Super Bowl. You heard that Ted a while ago. The Super Bowl is going to return to Atlanta in 2028, home of the Falcons, following a voted approval by the NFL team owners Tuesday at the league's annual meeting. And this is the fourth time the NFL's championship game is played in Atlanta.
Okay.
And the second at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How do they choose which stadiums to do that in, Ted? Does it have to have a certain capacity or just rotate it around, or whoever wants to? Does somebody have to put up money?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's only a few cities that are really on the list perennially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, L.A.
Yep.
But once in a while, there's been one in New York, one in Detroit, one in Houston. I think the new stadium in Minnesota is scheduled to host one of them soon.
Hmm.
Yeah, they want a stadium that's new.
Yeah.
New-ish, even though the Superdome isn't exactly new. But
a few minutes ago, we were telling you about a demonstration at the Kellogg's company in Michigan about the dye in the cereals, breakfast cereals, and we got to talking about brands when we were growing up. And what do we name? Cheerios, Wheaties. You had some of your favorites.
Vitamin, Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah. How about
Apple Jacks?
How about Sugar Pops?
Oh, yeah, Super Sugar Pop. Yeah,
Super Sugar Pops.
Oh.
Trix?
Oh, yep, all the time.
Trix? Yep. Kix?
Yeah, I had Kix when I was a kid.
That was an easy
Trix without color.
Easy to remember. The one I was trying to think about a while ago was Grape Nuts.
Oh, man.
I like the flavor, but boy, isn't that the one that was kind of small and gritty? And
oh, yeah.
Like a little tiny.
If you leave it sitting in the milk, it finally softens up.
Yeah.
If you eat it right away, man, boy.
I'd forgotten about this one. Did you ever try Cap'n Crunch's Dingleberries?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I liked that.
Of course, the Dingleberry became a name for something else that was kind of nasty, but Cap'n Crunch's Dingleberries. All right. I don't think they still have
They changed it to Crunchberry.
Crunchberry? Yeah. Oh, good.
Rebranding.
Did
of course, you mentioned Grape Nuts. Remember the commercial in the 1970s with Yul Gibbons?
Yul Gibbons.
He goes, many parts of a tree are edible. Johnny Carson just would make fun of that guy constantly in the monologue. Yeah,
nail him.
So, yeah. Grape Nuts. And plus, Grape Nuts, you'd add a bunch of sugar to it to also make it palatable.
There you go. 6:39, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And it's time for our commodities update with Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. Tuesday, the live cattle and feeder cattle futures traded negative with their lowest trades of the past 6 to 9 sessions. Now, the closes for the live cattle and the feeders were triple-digit losses, but they did manage to bounce somewhat off their session lows. Now, this appears to be mostly a technical sell-off that has been long overdue. Box beef prices continue higher, and we also saw lean hogs trade mix and close negative. On the close yesterday, December live cattle, $1.40 lower, $186.52. November feeders $3.10 lower at $246.47. And December lean hogs were down 57 cents at $75.22. Now, Tuesday harvest selling pressure, along with concerns over China's economy, helped the sell-off in the grains. The wheat, corn, and soybeans all made new lows for the current downside and closed negative yesterday. The NOPA soybean crush was strong at 177.3 million bushels. And the U.S. corn harvest now is 47% complete nationwide. Kansas is 7%. 77% done. Soybean harvest, 67%. Kansas, 53%. Winter wheat planting, 64% complete, with Kansas at 68%. At the moment, we've got December Kansas City wheat down a penny and a half at 581.5. December corn, 2.25 higher at 403.5. November beans up 7 cents at 998. November crude oil, 23 cents lower at $70.35. December gold, $17.10 higher at $2,696. December S&P, 2.75 points higher at 5,865.5. December dollar index, 1 penny higher, 103.06. And December Dow Jones futures down 8 points at 43,007. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Loeffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
How about it, Tom? Did you have a favorite breakfast cereal when you were a youngster?
You know, I was not a big cereal eater, but I did like Life cereal.
Life.
Oh, yeah, Life. Good one.
Yeah.
The one Mikey liked.
Right, Mikey.
Mikey and Tommy. Tommy Loeffler.
That's right.
Tommy, there you go. Oatmeal. Anybody eat that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? I hate oatmeal.
I never got what it was about. I mean, are you supposed to put sugar on it or something?
Oh, put nice half and half, some brown sugar, little pat of butter.
That would make it edible to me. I'm like, yeah, Tom, you can have it. I don't want it. I figured you growing up on a farm, you'd have, you know, a big plate of scrambled eggs and hash browns every morning, and your mom would throw in, you know, some bacon, some fried bacon. And what do you think? Did that happen very often?
You know, I don't remember exactly what all I ate as a kid. I do remember we ate some cereal, but I wasn't a big cereal eater. But, you know, that's been a while back, and I can't remember, Steve.
All right. Well, that's all right.
Like my hot cereal
I do eat pretty I do eat pretty healthy now. I eat eggs and bacon and sausage and stuff like that all the time.
Good for you.
It's good. Dad?
I think my warm cereal go-to was Malt-O-Meal. I liked Malt-O-Meal.
Wow. What was their little guy?
I'm a big fan of the malt flavor.
Oh, didn't they have somebody on TV? Okay. Anyway, there you go. Cereal Day. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Coming up, we got Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker. Can I afford a new home, or should I save some more? That's right. Don Grant on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Steve is in the morning, KNSS, 647 now here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita City Council approves more spending on flock police cameras.
Two.
A man not injured after pouring gasoline on himself and threatening suicide near Wesley Medical Center.
One.
Biden joins Trump and Harris on the campaign trail, with the national election just less than 3 weeks away. Three big things, Steve and Ted, on KNSS.
And a traffic update here on your Wednesday morning commute. Look at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam. I'm looking at the one at Kellogg and West Street and seeing a little bit of slowdown on the West Street corridor, especially the southbound lanes of West there at Kellogg. A little slow at this hour. And during the past few minutes, we did have the report of someone on a motorcycle going about 95 miles per hour on Kellogg somewhere and going too fast for even law enforcement to even try to stop it. So watch out for that guy, or maybe it's a lady. Who knows? But got that going on this morning. That's Traffic Update. Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Sunny today with a high of 62 degrees. Clear tonight, overnight low 42. Thursday, sunny, breezy, and warmer with a high of 71 degrees. Now a few clouds, 36 degrees, northeast wind at 5 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A man from Texas could face the death penalty more than 20 years after his daughter's death.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Texas could be the first person executed in the United States from a murder conviction tied to shaken baby syndrome. 57-year-old Robert Roberson is scheduled to be put to death for the 2002 killing of his 2-year-old daughter, Nikki Curtis. Roberson, who was later diagnosed with autism, has long proclaimed his innocence, saying his daughter had been sick, and when he took her to the hospital, she was prescribed medication that's now deemed dangerous for kids. Days later, he says she fell off the bed in the middle of the night and was unresponsive the next morning. morning. Back then, doctors say the child died of shaken baby syndrome, with scans showing bleeding and brain swelling, which led to Robertson's death sentence. Now, Robertson advocates say Nikki died of complications of pneumonia and the prescribed medication, saying a shaken baby syndrome diagnosis is not always reliable, arguing the child's medical history and surrounding circumstances have to be taken into account. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
On Wall Street Tuesday, stocks pulled back from record highs.
Adidas boosting its full-year outlook after reporting better-than-expected quarterly results. The German sportswear company is currently going through a revamp that has seen an increase in its sales. LVMH falling short of revenue expectations. The French luxury empire blaming the decline on lower demand worldwide. LVMH owns Louis Vuitton and Dior, among other high-end brands. Albertson's quarter was better than expected. The grocery store giant's earnings were lower but topped forecasts. And the stock market tanking Tuesday. The Dow ending down 325 points, S&P 500 down 45, and the NASDAQ down 187. Laura Cantor, Fox News.
Can I afford a home? Need I save more? Don Grant, CFP, the Bunny Tracker, with us this morning. Good morning, Don.
Well, you've owned yours outright for decades.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, good morning. You know, one of the biggest drivers of the American economy is the purchase of a home. The housing industry employs so many different people who all generally pay taxes, and then in turn they invest what they make into other sectors of the economy. And then, of course, there are the other direct costs of a home ownership, like furniture, durable goods, building materials, utilities, paint, tax revenues. Buying a home is more than just getting a place to live. If you've saved up for a solid down payment on your new home, that's great. But before you plunk the money down, think about a few more things that you may need to spend on. First of all, do you have enough furniture to fill the house? If you will be taking care of your own yard, do you have tools like a mower, a trimmer, and hedge clippers? How about buying plants, fertilizer, and landscape mulch? You got to have that mulch. That's just some of it. You may want to paint a room, add some throw rugs, or add a ceiling fan. But before you get to all that decor, do you have a vacuum, brooms, cleaning materials, a washing machine, and a dryer? Well, you may be able to do without all those things immediately, but you can see how quickly those things can add up. And they are all expenses that go beyond just the down payment, closing, and moving costs. At a minimum, you'll have ongoing mortgage payments, property taxes, potential HOA fees, insurance, and maintenance costs. I encourage anyone who has the financial ability to buy properly to go ahead and do it. But if you go into it without considering all costs, you may find that you're in over your head and you could potentially end up losing everything that you put into that home. One strategy may be to begin accruing things you'll need, like a washer and dryer and furniture, before you buy the home. Then you can use any excess income to apply towards an emergency maintenance fund, which will certainly come in handy. It's inevitable. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number's 267-0600.
How about that weather this morning? Yeah.
It's a little chilly, cooler. Yeah, I had to put on a little sweatshirt today.
Yeah, you've got your shorts on because I guess you said you're going to play tennis indoors or outdoors.
Well, I try to talk the guys into playing outdoors. Maybe a little cool today, but I prefer to be outdoors. But it's cool, so we may be indoors.
The great thing, if you got at least one layer on, and if you're moving around.
Yeah, if you're moving, you're good.
You stay moving. If you play tennis by sitting in a chair someplace and swatting at a ball, you're going to be in trouble.
No, that's not how you play tennis.
Yeah, that's not how you play tennis. You got to get up. You got to move, right?
Exactly. Right. That's the whole idea. Keep the blood moving so I can live to be 105.
Yeah. I know how to play tennis.
You do?
Yeah.
Good.
It's just not my racket.
Ba-dum-bum.
You know, one of my...
Yeah, there you go.
One of my favorite scenes in The Apartment, and I think they duplicated it in The Odd Couple, is Jack Lemmon straining spaghetti with a tennis racket.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
Oh, man.
Very creative. Okay. Here it is, National Bosses Day.
Okay, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. To recognizing the hardworking boss overseeing the workplace, employees across the United States show appreciation and thankfulness to their bosses. In other words, they kiss up to them. They remember the their boss's kindness and fairness throughout the year. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have a big old thing of flowers and some chocolates and some, you know, here for my employees.
Do you have any, do you remember any especially good boss, one or two that's just...
Yeah, I've had a lot of great bosses.
I did a personal Facebook. I put one out, and I listed over 50. I've got 8 or 9 of the bosses I've had that were okay or two. Some of them were great.
Right.
I did not list the 4 or 5 that I did not care for. But
you know, I haven't been in a lot of positions where I wasn't sort of – I mean, like when I waited tables, it was up to me how much I made.
Yeah.
You know, and to some degree. And my boss was not really – you know, that was like the manager, as long as you're keeping your nose clean, from them, they're happy, you know.
Yeah.
So I've had very few positions where I've actually had a boss, except obviously the military.
Right.
But then you quickly become a boss. You know, even if you're like an E3 or an E4, you do take on sort of a minor command level. So I didn't mind that because I was learning so much.
Tough job being a boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To being a good boss is a tough job. Yeah.
Pretty tough to be a bad boss.
Well, you're kind of our boss here, aren't you?
I'm not the boss.
You run the show.
I'm not the boss of anybody.
You're the boss, applesauce.
I don't even. Thank you, guys. Boss is there.
Thank you. Okay.
6:56, Stephen Ted, coming up 7 o'clock, top of the hour news this morning. Biden is joining into the campaign with Trump and Harris. He's becoming part of the campaign there. We'll tell you about that coming up with Stephen Ted at 7 o'clock on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.